Shalom everyone. Happy to be here with you again. Today I wanted to speak about the Ben Ish Chai. Here I'm going to start. That's okay with you. Slicha, I'm just sharing my screen with you so you'll be able to see. So you'll be able to see the presentation that I've prepared. This is not the presentation that I've prepared. Here. Okay, so this is the today we're going to talk about the Ben Ish Chai, and specifically I wanted to give you a closer look to do a bit of a focus on his commentary to Agadot Talmudiyot. In the Talmud, in the Gemara, we have parts that are more of a halachic discussions and parts that are more of a storytelling. So most of the Talmidim, the great Reb Talmidim, would use, usually they would focus on the halachic parts, on the halachic discussions, and try to understand what halacha, what halachically does it mean to us today. But a Ben Ish Chai, that was a very unusual scholar, he decided to not only write a book that is specifically interpreting, slicha, and explaining those agadot, those stories that are hidden in between the halachot and the gemara, but also his daily shiur in his shul in Baghdad was dedicated to those agadot. So let's first start with a bit of a background about Ben Ish Chai, and then we can go ahead. Okay, so Chacham Yosef Chaim. Chacham Yosef Chaim was born in the year 1832 and he passed away in the year 1909 in Baghdad, in Iraq. In those days it was called Babel and not Iraq. He was a huge Torah scholar, and not only in Halakha, but also a master of Kabbalah. He became the Rav of Baghdad, Iraq, at the age of 25, after his father, who was the chief rabbi of Baghdad, passed away. He didn't want to accept the appointment upon himself, but he agreed to be the non-formal rabbi of Baghdad. In reality, he gave answers, and he was the halachic ruler for India, Persia, and Iraq. All of those three huge countries. It was a huge area that Ben Ish Chai helped them and gave them halachic answers. And in addition to that, he had a very live letter writing that he wrote with people from all over the world that wrote to him questions, and he wrote them back. He was recognized by the Sephardic community, both locally and abroad, as the Mehmet eminent halachic authority. Everyone accepted him, even the one that was against him, and we're going to talk about who was against him and why. They still recognized his amazing knowledge and his very special way of understanding halacha. Rav Yosef Chaim, Ben Ish Chai, wrote more than 100 books, more than 200 piyutim. Piyut is like a religious song. So more than 200 piyutim. In his books, the main ones, the famous ones are the one that is called the Ben Ish Chai, and that's why his name, the Ben Ish Chai. It's like the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch for Sfaradim, like some sort of... if we have the Shulchan Aruch that is going according to the order of the day, nachon, if you open Shulchan Aruch in the first page, you would see when you get up in the morning what you should do halachically. So and it goes throughout the day in order to organize for you the days, the week, the chagim, and everything that the Shulchan Aruch is going. The Ben Ish Chai wrote his book of halachot more associativi, meaning it wasn't organized in a manner of daily life, but it was more organized according to the parashat Shavua, according to the parasha, and then the ideas that he had according to the parasha, and there in his halachic ruling that was in relevance to the parashat Shavua. which makes it a bit harder. When you want to find a topic in the Shulchan Aruch, it's very easy. When you want to find a topic in the Ben Ish Chai, it's a bit harder and you have to get to know everything. Today, when we have Control F, it's much easier, but in previous years, it was harder. Mikbetze El, it's also, again, a very famous book of his, of a comprehensive explanation of the Jewish law. The Ben Yoyada and Ben Yoya, it's his parshanut for Talmud, for the Gemara. So he actually wrote a whole interpretation for the Gemara, and he specifically focused on the Agadot. And he had a lot of she'elot v'tshuvot, books of halachot that were according to questions and answers that he was asked. And these are just the main books. He had, like I said, more than 100. But in addition to him being a huge scholar, let's start with the story. When he was 7, he fell into a well, a very deep well. And at the beginning of his book, the Ben Ish Chai, the beginning of the book about halachot, so in the Hakdama, it says that when he was at that well, he made a deal with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And he told the Kadosh Baruch Hu, if I'm going to make it out alive, out of this well, if they're going to be able to take me out of here, I'm going to dedicate my life to learning Torah. And when they took him out, and when he came out of the well and he was, Baruch Hashem, healthy, he mamash started to learn Torah, and that was the age of 7. When he was already at the age of 15, his father, which was the head rabbi of Baghdad, was always answering halachic questions. And one day, Ben Yosef, Ben Ish Chai, Yosef Chaim, when he saw a question, he answered in the name of his father. And then it was famous to everyone of how much of a scholar he is, how much of an ilui he is, and how much Torah he knows, and he can be a real posek halacha. In addition to being posek halacha, he learned a lot of Gemara, and a lot of Kabbalah. And he, into his halachot, and this is something that we're going to talk about a bit later, into his halachot, he brought in a lot of minhagim and a lot of hanhagot, a lot of laws that Ha'ari wrote that have Kabbalic roots. And then he put it together with the laws of halacha, and he posek, the way that he posek halacha is through Kabbalah. Meaning if you're looking for the roots to where you would find the reasoning to why to do that way or the other way, with the Ben Ish Chai, it will be because of Kabbalah. I want to give you 3 short stories that were told. There are many, many stories about the Ben Ish Chai, but I want to share with you 3 major stories about the Ben Ish Chai in order for you to understand his very interesting figure, and not just as a learned man, not just as a great rabbi, but also as a person. He was married at the age of 17 to the niece of the Rosh Yeshiva in Baghdad. His father passed away when he was young, and then his mother passed away when he was much, much older. It says that after his mother passed away, he did not leave his house for 7 years. The mourning was so hard on him, and he was so attached to her that he didn't leave his house for 7 years after his mother passed away. And you can see it, I think, that you can feel his connection to his parents. Also, when he's talking about Hilchot Kibud Av V'Em, when he's talking about Halachot of how to respect the elderly, I think you can feel the special connection that he had with his parents. But here, the first story, first of all, I don't know if you know Menachem Halberstadt. He's a painter in Israel, very famous one, and very talented one in my eyes. And this is his drawing to the story of the Ben Ish Chai. It's a very famous story. Here, I brought it in Hebrew, but of course, I'm going to translate. פעם אחת שמעתי מאדם אחד שהיה מדבר בגנות אחינו בני ישראל. Once I've heard for one person that was talking bad things about our brothers, the Jewish nation, היושבים בערי אירופה. that we're sitting in Europe. Specifically, he's talking here about London. Rav Ben Ish Chai, Rav Yosef Chaim, had friends in London that he used to write to them back and forth. The famous one of them was Frecha Sassoon. I don't know if you've heard about her. She was a widow. She lived in England. She was very, very wealthy and very, very learned. She knew a lot of Gemara, a lot of Talmud, and she was writing, corresponding with a lot of rabbis throughout the world in those days. Ben Ish Chai was one of them. And each time in his letters to her, he would ask her, in addition to the halakha that they were discussing in between themselves, he always wanted to know what was the situation with the Jews in London. How is it going? How is it happening in Europe? What's happening with the Jewish people there? So he knew, he wanted to be updated all the time about the Jews around the world. So once he heard this person talking bad things about the Jews living in Europe. And that person said about them, שהם מחללי שבתות בפרסיה, that they are not keeping Shabbat in public, מקטון ועד גדול, the young ones and the old ones, ואוכלים מאכלות אסורות, and they are eating non-kosher foods, ועוד הרבה לדבר בגנותם. And a lot of more things to say that they've done wrong, that they've done against the Jewish law. And I have told him, מי הכרחה לדבר בדברים אלו של גנות וחובה וכדרוק המאמחה ישלימנה? Who forced you to say those things of bad things, of חובה וכדרוק, like in court, like you're saying something against someone? Who gave you the right? Who gave you the authority to say bad things about those Jews who live in Europe? ואתה, מה יש לך בדברים אלה? What is it to you? מי הכניסך בתגר זה? Who forced you to be part of this fight, of this argument? ועוד, למה תבחר לעשות מעשה זבוב? Why are you choosing to do something like a fly, like a bug, שאינו חונה, אלא על בשר נקי וטהור, אלא על מכה וחבורה אשר שעל הבשר. When you have flies that are flying around, they are not choosing to sit or to park on top of a fresh meat, but they want to sit דווקא on the place, on מכה וחבורה אשר על הבשר. They always want to sit when there's rot meat, or the meat is stale and it's not fresh, then the bugs and the flies will come over. So why are you behaving like that fly that is sitting on the rotten meat? כי כן אתה מספר בגנות אנשי אירופה, because you are saying things that are not right about the people of Europe. ואינך מספר בדבר טוב ושבח הנמצא בהם, and you're not saying anything good about them. And then this person said, מה שבח וטוב נמצא בהם כדי שידבר בו? But there's nothing good that I can tell about them. I just told you, they're not keeping Shabbat, they're not keeping kosher, they're doing everything publicly. What do you want me to tell you something good about them? There is nothing good that I can tell you about those people. And then I've told him, יש ויש. Of course there are good things about them. כי הנה תמצא אפילו מאותם אנשים, you're going to find from these people, שמחללים שבתות וימים טובים, even if they're not keeping Shabbat. And they're not keeping the chagim, ואוכלים בשר חזיר, and they're eating pork, ובשר בחלב, and they're confusing meat and dairy together, ושותים יין עם נוכרים, and they're drinking wine together with the non-Jews, ומערבים עמהם, and they're assimilating themselves together with the non-Jews. עם כל זה, הם מחזיקים בשם היהדות אשר עליהם. But even though they still calling themselves Jews, ומודים ומודיעים בפיהם שהם יהודים, and they recognize the fact that they are Jewish, and they're letting everyone know that they are Jewish, ואין שם יהודי חרפה להם, and they're not ashamed of being Jewish, אלא הוא להם לכבוד ולתפארת. Why is this story became so famous? I'm going back to the painting because I think it's so nice, the way that Menachem Halberstadt described this little fly here that is choosing to see the rotten apple when there's so many beautiful fruits that are lying there. And I think that from the story, you can understand the point of view of the Ben Ish Chai. Halakha was very important for him. It's not like we can say, oh, you know what? He wasn't such a halachic Jew. He didn't care so much for Chagim. He didn't care so much for Shabbat, for Kashrut. He cared deeply about halakha. He cared deeply about Shabbatot and about Kashrut and about eating kosher and about everything. But he was able to see the Jews that are living wherever they are in Europe, outside of Israel, in Israel, and to look at them and to see that they have good things about them. And what's good about them, that they still recognize themselves as Jewish. They have Jewish pride. They're not ashamed of their Judaism. And even though they're not keeping halakha, still they recognizing themselves as Jewish. And the Ben Ish Chai wanted to emphasize how beautiful that is in his eyes. And he didn't let anyone say something bad to him. So that's the first story. The second story here, if you can see here, this beautiful drawing.
Rabbi Nichira.
Ah, Ken?
Just a few people are wondering if you'd be able to share the link to the presentation in the chat.
The what?
The link to the sources, to the stories.
Do you want me?
Yes, please.
Do you want me to, right now, Rega, how do I do that?
I think
now
you can
see how old I am.
Copy and paste the link into the chat.
Sure. Wonderful.
No, that's a local link. It's her local link. It's not going to work.
Oh, okay.
Ah, slicha. But I can upload it. I have it and I'll be happy to share it. I have no idea how to do it. Sorry.
I think the sources that are on the website currently are from last week, actually, Lauren.
Slicha. So mamash, I apologize. It's my mistake. I didn't upload the sources in advance. I apologize. But I'm going to do it straight after the shiur. I'm going to call my youngest son. He's 9 and he'll be able to do it.
Yeah.
For me. Now you can guess how old I am. Slicha, I apologize for that, but I would love to share it with you, especially the beautiful drawing. This one is from Lee Zakai, and she drew, if you see here, it's Chatan Vekala in her eyes. And this is the story about the Ben Ish Chai. Here, I'm going to show you the story. So it's a story about one of the students of the Ben Ish Chai, and Ben Ish Chai often invited him to visit in his house and to tell him, what have you learned? What is going on with you? Tell me, share it with me. One of these times, Harav Ephraim, which was the student, told the Ben Ish Chai about something that he has learned. And the Ben Ish Chai was very impressed from the chidush, from the creativity of the learning of his student. And he told him, as a reaction to the beautiful thing that he said in Torah, Ben Ish Chai told him, if this is how you're learning before you got married, what will happen after you'll get married? What a beautiful chidushim in Torah you're going to have after you'll be married. Now, first of all, I think it's a beautiful story. But the second thing that I want to show you here, how Ben Ish Chai is thinking Kabbalically. Because in Kabbalah, if you're single, you're still half a person. And only when you are married, zachu ish v'isha shechina b'nehem. When you are married and you are a man and woman, then you have the opportunity to bring shechina, to bring a kadosh baruch hu into your relationship, and to have a kadosh baruch hu together with you. So Ben Ish Chai mamash took it to the daily life. Like, if this is the level of your learning and creativity right now, when you're only half a person, what will happen to you? What will happen to your creativity when you'll be a full person and you'll be able to get depth of limud Torah so much more after you'll get married? So that's a story that I love. And this is the third story. You see the beautiful drawing? This drawing is from Raz Ben Ari. And this is my favorite story. So one person come to the Ben Ish Chai and he asked him a question, halachic question. In my backyard, I have a tree. The branches of the tree are very long and they are already going over the fence to my neighbor garden. The neighbor My neighbor wants me to cut the branches of the tree on my expense. He wants me to do it. He wants me to pay the gardener. Do I have to do it? Do I have to pay the gardener to cut the tree? Ben Ish Chai told him, I need to look it up. Let me think about it. Come back to me tomorrow, which is a very normal answer for a rabbi to say. And then what usually a rabbi would do is go back home or go back to the Beit Midrash and open a book and look into the books of halacha. But the Ben Ish Chai did something else. The Ben Ish Chai went out of his house to his garden and looked at his tree and saw that in his house and in his garden, his tree has branches, that the branches are also going to the neighbor's house. He went and he told the gardener to cut the branches that are going over to his neighbor house. The next day, when the person came back, he told him, I looked it up and I found that you have the obligation, the halachic obligation, to cut the tree, and it has to be on your expense. You have to pay the gardener. You have to cut the branches of the tree. Why do I love this story so much? Because a lot of times, rabbanim, or especially community rabbis, will go and look for the halachic answer in the halachic books. And it makes sense, and it's a good thing to have an answer out of knowledge. But Ben Ish Chai was very... it was very representative for him to have a halachic answer out of life, out of reality, and not only out of a halachic knowledge. And here we're coming to what I wanted to share with you. And I chose one agada. I chose one agada that Ben Ish Chai is giving a parshanut, is giving an interpretation to, from the Gemara. What I wanted to tell you about the Ben Ish Chai, that he had a daily shiur in his shul in Baghdad. He had 1,000 people coming to shiur every day. The shiur was over 50 years every day, and it was very important for the Ben Ish Chai to give that shiur. The shiur was halacha from Shulchan Aruch and Yaakov, which is Agadot, and Parashat Shavua. And this is what he, for an hour and a half, shiur every day after tefillah, they would daven in Vatikin very early in the morning, and then 1 hour and a half of shiur for 50 years. Every 4 years and so, they would have a siyum, and then they will start all over again. Shulchan Aruch, En Yaakov, Parashat Shavua. And it was very important for Ben Ish Chai, even though he was able to be a huge Rosh Yeshiva and to give shiurim in a very high level of Gemara, of Svara, of learning like the ins and the outs of the Gemara. It was very important for the Ben Ish Chai to give shiurim that are stories that people will be able to relate to them. And that's why he chose to teach halachot, he chose to teach agadot, because he wanted people to be interested in what he had to say. And he kept on saying, Ben Ish Chai, it was very important for him. He kept on saying that rabbis need to be able to tell stories. And from the stories, the people will understand the message by themselves. Like if you want to teach halacha, give the people story. Like you have to attract them to be interested, to listen to you, and not just to teach like dry Shulchan Aruch, dry halacha. But you have to see how to attract the people to come and to listen. For the Ben Ish Chai, it worked. It worked amazing. There were people waiting in line to listen to his shiurim, and especially to his agadot. And later on, it came to be a part of books. I want to show you one a cover. I don't know if you can see. It's called Ben Yehoyada. This is it's a beautiful book about the Ben Ish Chai. You see the picture of the Ben Ish Chai. And he called his book Ben Yehoyada. Ben Yehoyada, Zebnayahu Ben Yehoyada, was the minister of army of David HaMelech. He was in charge of the general of war for David HaMelech. When HaBen Ish Chai, who loved Israel and spoke about Israel in his drashot, in his shiurim, he spoke about Israel a lot. We're talking about the end of 1800, Ken, the beginning of 1900. And he took a tour to Eretz Israel. He came to Eretz Israel. In one of his tours, that he came to Eretz Israel, he came to the site where Bnaya ben Yehoyada is buried, when it's the tradition that the minister of the army of David HaMelech is buried up in the north. And Ben Ish Chai stayed there for a couple of days and a couple of nights. And when he left, he said that his neshama is attached to the neshama of Bnaya ben Yehoyada. And therefore, all of his book that he wrote after that encounter with Bnaya ben Yehoyada, he named them after this minister of army of David HaMelech. He later on kept on talking and writing about this meaningful experience that he had being at the grave of Bnaya ben Yehoyada. And I don't understand it, but he's saying, like, Ben Ish Chai testified on himself that he spoke to him, that he talked to him, that their neshamot are connected in some way. And therefore, a lot of his books of the Ben Ish Chai are calling Ben Yehoyada, Bnaya, Yehoyada, all of under this name. So Ben Yehoyada is the book that he interpreted Parshanut of the Agadot. And I chose one Agada that we can try and learn together. It's one that I like specifically, see if you like it as well. Rav Ktina hava keazil be'orcha. Rav Ktina was once walking along the road when he came to the entrance of the house of, I don't know how to say that in English, slicha, necromancer, an earthquake rumble. So Rav Ktina was walking around and all of a sudden he felt the land moving. And there was an earthquake. He said, does the necromancer know what is this earthquake? Miyada uvatamia haigoa mahu. Ramalei kala, ktina ktina. It's here. Ktina ktina. Why would I not know? Certainly this earthquake occurred because when the Holy One, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, blessed be He, remembers His children who are suffering among the nations of the world, he shed two tears into the great sea. בשעה שהקדוש ברוך הוא זוכר את בניו ששרויים בצער בין אומות העולם, מוריד שתי דמעות לים הגדול. וקולו נשמע, the voice of הקדוש ברוך הוא, is the sound of their reverberation is heard from one end to the earth to the other. קולו נשמע מסוף העולם עד סופו, Behainu Goha, and this is the earthquake. So there's an explanation here. Why does earthquake happening? Why? How come we have earthquakes? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is crying. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is remembering the people that are in Galut, that are not living in Eretz Israel, and you have deep sorrow from that. And because of that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is shedding two tears into the great ocean. So just the metaphor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is the Gemara from Brachot. You see, from Brachot Nuntet. Just the metaphor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu sitting there in the sky and shedding two tears that are falling into the ocean. And the ocean is huge and you can't recognize which of the water of the oceans are the tears of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and what in the ocean is just rain. And it's just HaKadosh Baruch Hu is crying because of the sorrow of Galut. This is the Gemara. Now, when the Ben Ish Chai is reading it, he has a huge problem with this Agadita, with this story. And the problem that the Ben Ish Chai has with it is that the Ben Ish Chai was completely and utterly against Ha'anasha. Ha'anasha is to humanize HaKadosh Baruch Hu, meaning there's no such thing as metaphor. Even in a way of a metaphor, you can't say it on HaKadosh Baruch Hu because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is completely spirit. En lo guf, en lo shem guf, en lo tzura. He doesn't have a shape, he doesn't have a form. You can't say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is crying. You can't say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu feels sorrow. You can't say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is shedding tears. All of it is very problematic for the Ben Ish Chai. And therefore, HaBen Ish Chai is reading this Agadita and he's looking for a way to interpret it. And this is what he is saying. So first of all, the source that the Ben Ish Chai is bringing is from the Sefer HaZohar, from the Kabbalah. Amar Rabbi Eliezer, bo ur'e rachmanuto shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Come and see how gracious, how merciful HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. When he feels mercy for Israel, kofe lemidat adin, umurida ומרחם עליהם. When he feels sorry for Am Yisrael, what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? He's forcing the justice, and he takes the justice down, and he feels sorry for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Again, you don't have to understand everything. I definitely don't understand everything, אבל I wanted to share it with you. The idea of two tears coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu is from Yishayahu, ישעיהו נונטט, שתיים הנה קוראותיך מינוד לך השוד והשבר והרעב והחרב מי אנחמך. These two things have befallen you, the rock and the ruin, who can console you? Famine and sword, how shall I comfort you? From the prophet of ישעיהו, and the Gemara is talking about the shtaim here, and the Zohar will also emphasize shtaim. And again, in the Haggadah, we have the two tears that are coming down, and this is how the Zohar explains in this pasuk, shtaim hena koro'aticha. What does it mean, these two things? What two things? The two tears of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that are falling down. And another Gemara before we go into the Ben Ish Chai, the Gemara in Brachot that I'm sure you all recognize and you know, Amar Rabbi Eliezer, Amar Rabbi Elazar, Miyom Shecharav Bet HaMikdash, from the day, since the day that the temple was destroyed, the gates of prayer were locked, and prayer is not accepted as it once was. Nin Alu Sha'aret Tfilah. שנאמר גם זעק ושווה שתם תפילתי. That's in the temple destruction in כן. ואף על פי ששערי תפילה לא ננעלו, the gates, despite these, the fact that the gates of prayer were locked with the destruction of the temple, the gates of tears were not locked. שערי דמעה לא ננעלו, שנאמר שמעה תפילתי השם ושבעתי הזינה אל דמעתי אל תחרש. Meaning from the time of the destruction of the temple, something has happened to the tefillah, to the way that we were used to litpalel, to daven. More than that, I think something has happened to the connection between Am Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If during the time of when we had the temple, during the Beit HaMikdash, was something that we could have meet HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the tefillah would go straight forward to Hashem, now it's not so straightforward. Now we have some sort of disconnection between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's farther apart, and therefore tefillah is not exactly the same as it was to be in the temple, but still the Gemara is recognizing that even though tefillah is not the same, dim'ah, tears are still the same, and there's power and there's importance in crying, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't ignore the tears. And this is what HaBen Ish Chai is writing in Shut Rav Pealim, and he's referring to the Agadah that we read about HaKadosh Baruch Hu shedding two tears into the great ocean. וכאשר יוריד האדם דמעות, and when the person is shedding tears, והתכוון למתק הדינים, and he means to make the justice sweeter, הנה החוכמה העליונה שהיא ימה רבה, the greatest divine, the divine wisdom, which is the great ocean, תמתקם, will make it sweeter, ומתבשמים בים הרבה, כנזכר, and they are, because they becoming part, the tears are becoming part of the great wisdom, it gets sweeter, ותרים דמעין הם שורש הדינים, meaning the tears that are coming down, the two tears, like we said in Yishayahu, this is the din, this is the hard thing. But when they're coming down, they're changing, they're shifting into to being something sweet, something that smells good. Ve'en satan, ve'en pegara, and there's no Satan, and there's no harm. Ve'arachamim mitrabim, and there are much more mercy. Ve'lefichach sha'are dim'a lo ninelu. And that's why the gates of tears are not locked. על כל דין בקיצור עיין שם. הראית לדעת עניין הבחייה, the issue about crying, שבזה מתמתקין הדינים, that by crying, by shedding tears, all the justice in the world, all the din in the world, is getting better, is getting sweeter. גם גורם התעוררות גדולה למעלה, והרחמים מתרבים, We are sitting here and crying down here on earth, but it's causing something up there in the heavens. And it's causing HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give us more mercy and to make the din sweeter. וגם מבואר בדברי רבנו הארי, and it's also explained, הארי explained to us in the Zohar, כי כאשר האדם בוכה, when the person is crying, ומוריד דמעות, and he is shedding tears, יכוון למטה קדינים ודי בזה. If you're already crying, think about it and try to have a kavana, have meaning, that you want the din to be sweeter, that you're asking for mercy from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. והשם יתברך ברחמיו, and הקדוש ברוך הוא, the merciful, יאיר עינינו באור תורתו. And he will enlighten us in the light of Torah. So first of all, that the Ben Ish Chai is saying here, so he's not talking about the metaphor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu sitting and crying, but he is saying there is justice in the world and there is mercy in the world, there is din and rachamim, and there's way of changing the din from the heavens of HaKadosh Baruch Hu changing the din, and there is a way from us, for us, et aruta deletata, from the bottom, from the earth, to change the din, to change the justice, and to make it sweeter. And this is our way of influencing the connection between Shamayim v'aretz. The Gemara in Baba Metzia is also, it's mamash very similar to the Gemara in Brachot that we read about Rabbi Eliezer, מיום שנחרב בית המקדש, ננעלו שערי תפילה, and it's bringing the same pasuk, but even though שערי תפילה are locked, שערי דמעות לא ננעלו. And here we have Hagmara in Chagiga, that is also very similar to the Agaritas that the Ben Ish Chai is talking about. Rav Shmuel Bar Inya said in the name of Rav, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a place where...
on the table where...
Slicha. The Kadosh Baruch Hu has a place where he cries. And its name is Mistarim. In Hebrew, from Meistar, something that is hidden, something that we don't know where it is. So there is a place, a hidden place, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu sits and cries. What is the meaning of for your pride? Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak said, God cries due to the pride of the Jewish nation, which was taken from them and given to the Gentile nations. And Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmani said, he cries due to the pride of the kingdom of heaven, which was removed from the world. So it doesn't matter why HaKadosh Baruch Hu is crying, but this Gemara in Chagiga is also referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as having a secret hiding place in which he can sit and he cries because he has great sorrow, either for the pride of the Jewish nation, or because a deep sorrow for whatever is going on in heaven. אבל הקדוש ברוך הוא is feeling that sorrow and he's crying. And then Ben Yehoyada, which is the book of the Ben Ish Chai, writing the Perush of the Agadatot, is saying, מקום יש לקדוש ברוך הוא שבוכה בו ומסתרים שמו. הקדוש ברוך הוא's got a name, he's quoting the Gemara in Chagiga here, that הקדוש ברוך הוא is crying ומסתרים שמו. הנה כל משכיל יבין, whoever has brain, whoever has mind, can understand שדברים אלו אינם כפשוטם, that those things that the Gemara is writing to us here, it's not as just as simple as you read them, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a room that he can go and cry in his room. ונראה לי בסיעת הדשמריה, and I think in the help of God, סוד העניין, the secret of what the Gemara is trying to tell us here, the secret of what the Gemara is trying to tell us here, הקרוב לפשט, that is very similar to the פשט, to the words of the Gemara, על פי מה שאמר רבנו הארי, and I'm interpreting it according to the הארי, according to the Kabbalah, בשער מאמרי רשבי, בסוד מאמר שערי דמעה, there is an article, there is a whole contrast called שערי דמעה לא ננעלו, about Baba Metzia, about the Gemara, כי הדמעות הם רמז לשורש הדינים. The tears are a hint for the din, for the justice in the world. וכאשר יבכה האדם, and when the person is crying, ויוריד דמעות, and he is shedding tears, צריך לכוון למתק הדינים. You need to think, you need to have awareness, and you need to have a kavana, that you want to make the justice sweeter. דעל ידי זה יתבשמו, ויתמתקו הדינים, but by shedding those tears and having the kavana that it's in order to make the din easier on us, it will make the din sweeter. Ve'en satan, ve'en pegara, ve'arachamim mitrabim. And that will help us to amplify and to bring more mercy and more grace into the world. Deha adam hu tzurat or hakdosha ha'elyona. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created man betzalmo. Nachon, in the book of Bereshit, we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the person to be in the light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Adam hu tzurat or hakdosha ha'elyona. Ve'kaasher itorer lemata. And when the person is up, is awake in the earth, on earth, ken yeh itorerut bekdusha lemala. It will help create some sort of awakening of Kedusha in the heavens. Ve'anetzach ve'hod shebechuchma, these are the spirit of the Kabbalah. Hem hanikraim sha'arei dim'ah. Ve'al yedei dma'ot ha'adam, and by the tears of the person, hatachton, az yordim orot minetzach ve'hod shebechuchma. So this is the way of a Ben Ish Chai to explain what does it mean when the Gemara is saying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is crying. It's not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is crying, but by when a person is creating Taruta Deletata, when he's trying to do something here and he's crying here on earth, it shifts something in heavens. And when it shifts something in heavens, then there's something that is coming back down from heaven to earth. Just like the metaphor of the tears of HaKadosh Baruch Hu sitting in heaven and crying and shedding the tears into the ocean, what it means is that there's something, the movement is from down here, we have the ability to influence the heavens, and then when we're influencing the heavens have the ability to take something down back into the earth. Lematek hadinim, to make the din sweeter. Atkan dvarav, till here, this is what the Ha'ari is saying in the Kabbalah. Ve'erchiv Rabbeinu Zal hadvarim biyoter ye'uyan sham. If you want to understand a bit more, you need to go to the source, you need to go to the Kabbalah, you need to go back to the Ha'ari and to read it inside there. And the Ben Ish Chai is only writing in like to show us the little secret, to share with us the secret of the tears. But Ben Ish Chai is, I wanted to show you here that first of all, he was against humanizing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And even in places where the Gemara is writing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is crying, he would say, every person with a bit of a head and a bit of intelligence will understand that it's of course that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not crying, and you can't humanize HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But what it means is, and I think that the secret of Kabbalah, or that the secret that the Ben Ish Chai is trying to tell us here, that there is a relationship between heaven and earth. And this relationship is meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu is obviously in charge of what's going on earth. And that's something that we can understand, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu deciding when to give us rain, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu can decide when we give birth and when we die. And he basically rules the world. But what a Kabbalah is trying to say here, what a Ben Ish Chai is trying to emphasize here, that there's also a connection of influence from earth back to heaven, meaning we have the ability to influence in a way HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And even when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in deep sorrow, Chas v'chalila, or even when Am Yisrael is in exile and people are all over the world, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in sorrow because they're not in Israel and there's no one in Israel to keep the Torah, here on earth we have the ability to comfort HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We have the ability to cause some sort of shift, some sort of movement in the heavens to comfort HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then this movement again will create movement in earth, and the connection will keep going back and forth from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the earth, from the earth, from the people here, back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu back to us, and then us back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, back and forth. Itaruta deletata, meaning when we're awakening down here, deletata is from down, causing itaruta dele'ela. It's causing the hitorerut, the awakening of up, of the heavens. And this is the relationship that we have together with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this is, still he continues, nimtza inyan ha'bchiya u'mituk ha'dinin, meaning the whole issue, the whole idea about crying is in order to make the din sweeter. V'lachen bekol tzara yesh to'elet b'bchiya. And in every something bad that happens, in every sorrow that you have, there's a point in crying. I love reading it. You don't know me, but I'm a big crier. I love to cry, and I cry a lot, and I do it all the time. And I always thought of myself as someone who's not strong enough, and that's why I'm crying so much. But now reading the Ben Ish Chai, and he's telling me there is a point into crying. There is inyan into crying. It's good to cry. So I'm with the Ben Ish Chai on this one. The hatzara tiye al yedei tigboret adinim, because when you have sorrow, it is because there are a lot of justice. There's a lot of midat hadin in the world. And when you're crying, you're making a shift. You're changing the balance in between midat hadin and midat rachamim. And then the din, the justice, will change into being mercy, rachamim. ולכן, מאחר שירידת הדמעות מעיני האדם התחתון נקראת בשם בחייה, and because when a person down here on earth, it is called crying, it is called בחייה, כן הפעולה שתהיה למעלה במיתוק הדינים, and therefore the same action that is happening in the heavens by making the justice sweeter, גם היא נקראת בשם בחייה. It is also called in the same name of crying. והוא לשון מושאל, meaning this is a metaphor for crying on earth to crying in the heavens, של אדם התחתון. ולפי זה, כל מה שתראה בלשון חזל, everything that you would see in the language that the sages are using, שם בחייה למעלה, אפילו על המלאכים, even when the midrashim or the stories in the Gemara will tell us that the angels in heavens are crying, this is what they mean. Al poal shel mituk dinim, this is their way to act and to try to sweeten the justice. Uvesuman, making them smell good, from the word besamim. Mipnei, ki al yedei habchiya ha-ma'asit shel ha-adam ha-tachton, because by crying, by the person that is crying down here on earth, hayu ye lemala mituk dinim. So up in the heaven there will be changing of the justice. לכן הפעולה הזאת של מיתוק הדינים אשר תהיה למעלה נקראת בשון בחייה בלשון מושאל. And it is very important for the Ben Ish Chai to emphasize that it's a metaphor. And if it's of course that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not crying, but because this is the language that we understand, because this is an action that we human, this is what we do, we cry. And therefore, when HaKabbalah and when they want to explain to us what is happening in the heavens, they would use the same language that we're using to an action that we understand. So we are here crying because we have some sort of sorrow. And this sorrow is helping us to express the sorrow that we feel. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he has sorrow, he will do something similar. ומה שאמר המאמר, and what the Gemara said, יש מקום לקדוש ברוך הוא שבוכה ומסתרים שמות, and הקדוש ברוך הוא has a place that it's called מסתרים, where he cries. הכוונה ששערי דמעה הם בעשר ספירות של חוכמה, and this is where he goes to Kabbalah, talking about the ספירות. I'm not getting into that, I don't know enough. Even though I'm above 40, I don't have the beard yet, so I can't do the Kabbalah part. I apologize. So I'm not doing Kabbalah, but just so you'll know, he's talking about the ספירות. And that's the last part that I'm bringing up from that answer of the Ben Ish Chai. And look how beautiful he writes. If you'll ask, איך יהיה בבחיית האדם התחתון מיתוק וביסום? How come when a person is crying down here on earth, how come he's changing? How come he's able to sweeten the justice? הנה מלבד הסוד הנעלם שיש בזה. How come, what secrets that we don't understand, that we don't know we have in it. Askilcha ve'orcha, I will let you know, I will acknowledge you, give you knowledge, and I will give you, shed light into something that you don't know. Shegam begashmiyut yesh dugma leze, meaning everything that is happening to the person that is crying down on earth, this is what is happening in the heavens. Ki halo tir'eh, kol mi sheyesh lo tzar gadol, if chas v'chalila, you have a great sorrow, מחמת איזה דבר, whatever, for whatever reason, it doesn't matter what the reason is, but you're feeling a great sorrow, אם יבכה, if that person will cry, ירווח לו, והצער שבלבבו יתמתק. There's a reason why people are crying, why I am crying, because when you cry, you feel a bit better later. You feel relieved. And that's the purpose of crying. So when a person is crying down here on earth, so there's a relief by crying. Then, and he feels better in heart. לכן התירו חזל לבכות בשבת. And therefore, the sages are writing that during Shabbat, you're allowed to cry if you have a great sorrow. לאדם שיש לו צער גדול כדי שירווח לו. Why is he allowed to cry on Shabbat? Even though we know that during Shabbat, we're not allowed to have dine avelut. Because if you have a great sorrow, the way to deal with it is to cry it out and to take it out of the system. And then after you'll have a good cry, you'll be able to have some sort of a relief. ונמצא גם בגשמיות עושה הבחייה מיתוק וויסום. So even in the most physical, human way, when you cry, you have some sort of emotional relief, and that helps you to feel better. And that's an example, והוא מעין דוגמה לפעולה הנעשית ברוחניות. That's an example to what is happening in spirituality. למעלה, in the heavens, שהיא פעולת המיתוק וביסום הדינים. So we don't really understand how can we human influence HaKadosh Baruch Hu and making HaKadosh Baruch Hu change his mind and making the din a bit better. But we can understand that once you're crying, there is a purpose to crying. And once you're crying, you feel relief. And when you feel that relief, you're feeling a bit better. In the same way, crying is helping HaKadosh Baruch Hu to bring more mercy into the world. Here I brought to you the halakha from Shabbat. And this is Rema, Rabbi Moshe Iserlish, commenting on the Shulchan Aruch. מי שיש לו עונג אם יפקה, if you get pleasure by crying, כדי שילך הצער מליבו, in order for the sorrow to go away from his heart, מותר לבכות בשבת. You're allowed to cry on Shabbat. So even though halachically, you're not allowed to mourn on Shabbat, but if it will help you in order to relieve the pain, in order to relieve the sorrow, then you're allowed to cry on Shabbat. So I love it that such a spiritual idea also have a halachic, mamash down to earth halacha that we can relate to, that we can understand. I can't end the shiur about the Ben Ish Chai without talking about Harav Mordechai Eliyahu. There are many, many students that are calling themselves the Mamshichei Darko, the continuity of the Ben Ish Chai, but the most, I think, important one is Harav Mordechai Eliyahu. I had the privilege to grow, I grew up in Rav Eliyahu Shul, even before he was the chief rabbi of Israel. I'm that old. And Rav Eliyahu Mamash, I remember him like that, sitting in shul. He was Mamash like a good grandpa in shul with the white beard and very warm eyes. And he loved having the kids in shul. And every time the gabaim would start saying to the kids, go outside, don't make noise, we're davening here, Rav Eliyahu would always tell them, shh, let the kids be in shul. It's an important noise to have in shul. If the kids are not going to be here, they're not going to learn how important it is to daven, they're not going to learn about tefillah, let the kids make some noise in shul. It doesn't have to be a museum. Let them stay here. So this is my memories of Rav Eliyahu. Aval Rav Mordechai Eliyahu, in his ruling, in his halakha ruling, is continuing the way of the Ben Ish Chai. And it's important to understand that Rav Eliyahu is posek according to Kabbalah, just like the Ben Ish Chai. Why is it good? It's good because it gives us reason to a lot of mitzvot that we don't understand. Because then Rav Eliyahu would say, "Lama? Why are we doing so? Kacha? Because this is what Kabbalah have." We have some reasoning that no one understands and it's Kabbali, and this is it. And that's the end of the discussion, usually. The problem with it, halachically, that it doesn't give us much room to argue halachically, because once there's a reason and that reasoning is Kabbali, then you can't disagree with it. It's even you go by it or you don't. So Rav Eliyahu ruling is according to the Ben Ish Chai, which is according to Kabbalah. And I wanted to bring you a quote from Shut Rav Pe'alim, which is the book of Halacha of the Ben Ish Chai. And he's writing like that. Of course, we are poskim according to the Shulchan Aruch. En bedine isur, en bedine mamonot. Whatever the Shulchan Aruch is posek, this is what we do. Chutz, but there's an exception, and the exception would be chutz meotam dvarim hayeduim shepashat lanu aminag beirenu kedat harima. Meaning, besides for the things that we know that we are doing according to the Rema. Now, this is Rema, Rabbi Moshe Ishulish from Europe, Ben Ish Chai from Baghdad. Why is the Ben Ish Chai giving the psak according to the Rema? Because the Ben Ish Chai is posek according to Kabbalah. So the way that it goes, and Rav Eliyahu here is explaining it very beautifully. This is the Hakdama to the book of Ma'amar Mordechai, of Rav Mordechai Eliyahu. And this is what he says. Zikahu HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ונתקבלו פסקיו בכל ישראל. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Shulchan Aruch have a huge privilege that his psak halacha is what mekubal, is what we do all over Israel. It doesn't matter where you are, where you come from. עד שאמרו עליו גדולי הדור הקודם שהוא הפוסק האחרון ועל פיו ישק בית בישראל. So המאמר מרדכי here is talking about the Ben Ish Chai, and he is saying we have to go according to the psakim of the Ben Ish Chai and not according to the Shulchan Aruch. I'll show you. We're going according to the Ben Ish Chai, we're going according to the Shulchan Aruch only when the Shulchan Aruch is saying to lahachmir, to make it harder. But when Shulchan Aruch posek lehakel, we are not going according to the Shulchan Aruch. En yechol ha-muchzak lomar kimli delo kamoran ha-Shulchan Aruch. It's towards the end of the shiur, I just want to explain it. Rav Eliyahu posek according to the Shulchan Aruch till the point that Kabbalah have a different reason to say that it's forbidden, that it's asur, and then he would go against the Shulchan Aruch and he would go together with the Ben Ish Chai. And basically the Ben Ish Chai would have halachic reasoning that would go according to Kabbalah. And usually will be for Chumrah, meaning Kabbalic reasons will be for Chumrah. And it's a harder reasoning for rabbis to disagree with. So I always tell my students, it's very important when you're going to talk to a rabbi, you should ask them, according to who are you going with? What's your hashkafat olam? What's your halachic view? Do you go according to Rav Eliyahu, which goes according to the Ben Ish Chai, which goes according to Kabbalah? Or do you go according to, now I would want to know if you would know, who's the Bar Plukta of Rav Eliyahu? That will be a different shiur that we'll do. Of course, the Bar Plukta of Rav Eliyahu would be Rav Ovadia Yosef. Rav Ovadia Yosef is posek according to Svara and not according to Kabbalah. We're going to have a whole shiur about that in a different time. But the idea is that you're either going by Rav Eliyahu, who's going by the Ben Ish Chai, who's going by Kabbalah. And that's one way of psikat halacha. And I think that when you're learning halacha and when you're asking questions in halacha, it's very important to know the set of mind. Like what the Rav has in mind, does he have Svara in mind, which is the learned way of learning Gemara, or does he have Kabbalah in mind, like the Ben Ish Chai? Be'emet about the Ben Ish Chai, we have so many, basically it's a shiur that we can do for the whole year just about the Ben Ish Chai, because he wrote so many books, because he wrote so many poems and piyutim, and there's so much to learn about him, stories and minhagim and halachot. So that was just a little tiny bit of a taste to what the Ben Ish Chai was all about. And in the next shiurim, we're going to talk about Rav Mashash, but with the shiur after, we're going to talk about Rav Ovadia Yosef, and then we're going to try and understand the great argument or the great machloket in between Rav Eliyahu and Rav Ovadia Yosef.
Thank you so much. That was amazing. And really insightful, and I didn't know that, like I didn't know nearly enough about the Ben Ish Chai. I'm just going through the chat to see if we have any outstanding questions.
I see someone here is writing, the Deen is judgment. Toda rabba, nachon, it's not justice. I was translating it very verbally, and it's not the right translation. Justice is court, and din is judgment. Nachon, toda.
Somebody wondered if tears of joy count or only tears of sorrow.
Oh, that's a beautiful question. Ken, I think tears of joy count as well. I think bichlal, tov, I told you already, I'm biased. I'm a great believer in tears. And I think tears you express something that is physical, but it's something that is completely emotional. I think that it's amazing that you have body and mind combined like that, because it's an emotional expression, but it's completely physical. So I think tears of joy definitely have an influence as well, together with tears of sorrow.
iPad asked, when did the Ben Ish Chai believe the Zohar was composed and by whom? As well as, does the Zohar contain more anthropomorphisms when you personify God than the Chumash? I think it's
Ken, that's also a very good question. I think the Ben Ish Chai, I think he saw the Kabbalah was written by Ha'ari. Ha'ari from Tzfat. Ha'ari wrote the Kabbalah according to the traditions from Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai wrote it in the cave for 12 years and then 12 more. Nachon, we all know that story from the Gemara in Shabbat, in Daf Lamed Gimel. So the roots of Kabbalah coming from the from Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, and then according to what Rabbi Shimon left in tradition, Ha'ari in Tzfat wrote it, and that's the book that we have today. The book of the Zohar, the Kabbalah that we have today, is actually what the Ha'ari wrote, and I think that's what HaBen Ish Chai is referring to. Does the Zohar have more Ha'anashot, metamorphoses of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Ken. But the Zohar would, again, I'm not an expert in Zohar, so I'm being very careful by answering the question here. The Zohar, for example, when he talks about the Sfirot, the 10 Sfirot, so it also have equivalence to the face, to the eyes, to the nose, to the mouth. So it's always dual. It's always talking in various levels or dimensions. So it will also have the physical dimension and the spiritual dimension.
All right. And the last question, it looks like, is who are you doing next?
Who am I doing next? So the truth is, I don't remember. Rabbi Kalman wrote to me. I think it's Rav Mashash. Rav Mashash from Morocco. And right after that, Rav Ovadia Yosef. Ken, and if you have anyone specific that you want me to talk about and that we can learn together, I would love to hear, and I can prepare especially for you.
Is this Rav Mashash?
I can't see. Let me see.
If I come up on the screen,
wow, you have a picture of Rav Mashash.
Is that him?
I see the reflection of the, it's a bit glow. There's a glow there, so it's hard for me to see. I would love to see.
Just a minute. I'll take it out.
So Rav Mashash, if there's actually a line of rabbis, there's a line of rabbis. Oh wow, I think that's the son or the grandson.
Talking about Ken. His father.
Ken, wow. How come you have that picture? You have to tell me the story behind it.
I used to be a photographer, and I did a wedding where he was a Masader Kiddushin.
Wow.
And this is I particularly like this picture. You see how he's holding the ketubah? It's, yeah. I also took it at a funny angle, because it emphasized artistry, you know, that's...
it's beautiful.
Okay.
Mamash. It's beautiful. Ken, so Rav Mashash, it's actually a line of rabbis from Morocco. Ken, so his grandparents and great-great-parents were great rabbis in Morocco, wrote a lot of books, was the head of Beit Din. Ken, Rav Mashash.
Thank you so much. It looks like those are all the questions that are in the chat. Thank you so much. That was a wonderful shiur. think speak for many people when it was like, we all really appreciated it. So for those of you who are interested, in about 10 minutes, Rav Alex Israel will be speaking on the writings of Rav Sacks. So if you want to go grab a snack, at 12:15, we'll be meeting up again for his shiur. And I anticipate that will also be a really good one. Thank you so much, Rav Anichira. We really appreciate it. Have a lovely
day. See you next week, Be'ezrat Hashem.
See you next week.